You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Marjolein Dijkman. Marjolein, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, hi. It's nice to be talking with you too.
So, and where are you now? Just so our listeners know, where are you calling from at the moment?
I'm calling now from my studio in Brussels, so in Belgium.
And to begin with, I wanted to talk about your work and also Enough Room for Space, the organization that you're involved in. We can start with either. Maybe we should begin with Enough Room for Space. Tell us a little bit about what that is and how it was founded, and then we'll talk about your work as well.
Okay. Well, I founded Enough Room for Space 10 years ago with my husband, Maarten van den Einde. And in the beginning, we were quite a nomadic organization, working always in collaboration with other institutions to realize our projects. The urge to found Enough Room for Space was really coming from the interest to collaborate with other artists in our own terms and in our own time span. So often we met really interesting artists in group exhibitions we were participating or in other kinds of frameworks. And it was really hard to maintain this kind of contact and also to work together, parallel together on projects. So that's why we initially started Enough Room for Space. And since 2 years, we also have a building now here in Brussels where we can host artists to work here and a project space. And yeah, we're working on several projects in the same time. Parallel here.
So how does it work exactly? That's exciting. When you and your husband started it, what were some of the first projects of Enough Room for Space? How did you organize that?
Well, in the beginning, it was really creating temporary settings, like temporary residency projects or projects where we could really spend time together with other artists in a specific place or context. But the more our practice also evolved and the more these projects evolved, we realized that you need much more time than only this few weeks somewhere, or that projects cannot really develop in this kind of intense periods of time. So last years, it became more like long-term projects going on sometimes for years, actually, at the moment. Yeah.
And that's very interesting and something that would only happen in an artist-run space, really, right?
Yeah.
When I think of, you know, a lot of the organizations, nonprofits, they won't spend years on a project. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that's such a different way of looking at how to engage with artists or how artists even engage with institutions. What would be an example of a long-term project that might go on and on?
Well, one project is ongoing collaboration, for instance, with artists in Cameroon, where we have been exchanging already since 7 years, I think, and which really organically continues. Also the direction of these projects you can't really determine on forehand. You don't really schedule a project like that. It's more like how an artist's practice also evolves quite naturally according to the interest of the artist. So it's really a kind of group of people who determine together where this project will go. And it's coming and going of participants, because some people get different interests and move into other directions, and others keep coming back into projects. Another project we're working on now for 2 years is performing objects, and it's relating to different ways of this notion of performing objects, and it's like monthly meetings, workshops, lectures, all kinds of different things we do together, and it's really something that runs parallel to our own practice. So it's feeding our practices. Sometimes works come out of this. And often it's really like inspiration, exchange, and collaborative investigation into something you find interesting. Yeah.
I like that. I like that so much. And is it something that's also do you get grants to run this, or how is something like that run? Is it all, since it is artist run, is there grants or state support for that?
Well, the kind of structural part of our organization now, with this accommodation and project space, is actually funded by ourselves. It's in our own house, so it's really kind of complex here where we work and live. It's a mingling of life and work here. But for other projects, we often still collaborate with institutions to make things public. So we host smaller events here, and we host these informal working periods and exchange moments here. But often when works come out, or we want to make an exhibition or present something in public, launch a magazine or publication, we collaborate with other institutions and also find funding for that in collaboration with these institutions. So we don't have any structural funding, but we manage to function in collaboration with these other hosting organizations.
I like that very much. And I talk to different kinds of artists that build, what I would call institutions or organizations. And what you're doing sounds like it's not only important for the artist that you're working with, but that it's simply a very stimulating situation for artists and yourselves and your mm-hmm. husband, both intellectually and mm-hmm. aesthetically. That seems to be what comes to me as most important about this. It's a very fertile ground just to meet and talk and share.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's really why we, that's the main motivation to still keep it going.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's also, we found out that it's interesting for institutions as well, because they cannot host this kind of informal way of working. And it also feeds into their programs in interesting ways.
Hmm. Right, because now the institutions want what they can have, which is what your organization does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very difficult often for them to have very long-term engagements with artists to have this insecurity, not knowing if something is going to come out of it, or it's kind of the risk taking that they normally don't do.
Hmm. And let's talk a little bit about your work, Marie-Line. Maybe we can go back to something like Luna and talk about that table, if you want to talk about that work or something
mm-hmm.
more
mm-hmm.
recent of yours.
Well, Luna is very recent in the sense that it's an ongoing project, so I'm still working on upcoming Luna meetings as well. And Luna is in essence a conversation piece. So it's it consists of a table, a replica I made of the table around which the Luna Society met in the 18th century in Birmingham and the Midlands in England. And the Luna Society was a group of influential thinkers, amateur experimenters and industrialists who are sometimes referred to as the founding fathers of the Industrial Revolution. So people like James Watt, Joseph Priestley, Wedgwood, Erasmus Darwin, and many others met every month around full moon, and then they exchanged ideas together and critically analyzed problems they were facing and invested in each other's projects. This society existed from around 1765 till 1813, so over a long period of time they came together. And when I did an exhibition in Icon Gallery in Birmingham, I made a replica of this table, which is now in a museum. You can actually not touch the original table as it is exposed in the museum. It's really like a relic of the conversation there. And I decided to activate these conversations again. And what is really interesting for me is that this table is always having a different kind of meaning. So when it's in an institution and I host sessions there around full moon, then it's really the topic of conversation, where I dive back into the history of what they might have possibly discussed and bring it into today and possibly into the future, speculate about future development. And there it's really having a certain position in the institution and a format. And next to that, when it's in the Enough Room for Space headquarters, is also the table where we meet with all the artists when we do meetings here. And sometimes it's just a dinner table. Sometimes it's also referred to, again, as a work. And this changing status of this piece, I find really interesting.
I like that. It sounds like it also, of course, relates to a room for space and a little bit of those dialogues. So as that project continues, that's also about the conversations that you continue to have at that table. It sounds very close to Enough Room for Space and what you're generating there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's also why I was really drawn to this Lunar Society, and yeah, it is really a speculative piece. So it's also about this, yeah, impact of a conversation, an impact of a meeting of people, and yeah, it's a really interesting project to continue to work on, actually. Yeah.
And can you talk about maybe a recent iteration of that project and what has happened, like when people get together and use that table, is it documented or what comes out of that?
Well, the original meetings were not documented. They never made like notes or anything really recorded on paper, but they did correspond about these sessions amongst each other. And so far I have made audio recordings, but I've never made them public. And I'm thinking about working with these recordings one day, but not in a really transcript manner, but informing perhaps a couple of essays or texts. But for me, it's really about this moment of being there together. So it's not so much about making video recordings or audio recordings. And yeah, what comes out is a really... you never know. I mean, there's some people now involved already for some time in the conversations that I start to collaborate with, and you never know what's really the outcome of it. It's really untangible kind of thing. You cannot really predict on forehand.
So tell me a little bit of how the conversations are structured, though. You invite people to come. And is there any structure for the conversation itself? How does it begin or progress or know when it ends?
Yeah, so often I choose a specific angle, something that the original members that relates to the research or the work or the things they have developed, and then bring that to today or to the future. So, for instance, upcoming talks now I'm developing around astronomy, where I'm looking back at, for instance, one of the members, William Herschel, who discovered Uranus, but also infrared light, and yeah, had a huge impact on astronomy. I've done sessions rethinking this idea of progress and time, like Joseph Priestley made one of his first linear timelines of the future of the history. Where you could see that knowledge is progressing and more discoveries are being made. So this kind of idea of progress came. And yeah, we've had discussions about extraterrestrial life, artificial intelligence, all kind of different discussions where I often invite like three or four guest speakers who are really specialized in a specific area relating to these topics. And they are not bringing their PowerPoint presentations or standard formats to the table, so they cannot. They really have to relate to the table itself and to the other people. So it's not a conference format or symposium format that a lot of people are used to. And yeah, everybody who is present engages in the conversation, and afterwards there's a dinner. Yeah.
And that dinner is, you're hosting that dinner as well.
Yes. I'm always hosting, but I'm not moderating. Yeah? So it's a non-moderated conversation.
I like both of those ideas very much. And these works, Luna and perhaps some of your other works, as well as Enough Room for Space, are all ideas, works that seem like they're not in the marketplace, so to speak. These works aren't for sale. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not represented by a gallery. I guess also I don't have many works possibly ready to sell, although I have to say some works have been bought by a museum, for instance, but not very often. It's not my main interest indeed. And like this piece, Luna, is a complicated piece because it's very much about this activation of it. So the moment you would store it somewhere, it becomes again a relic of the piece itself. So it's really about keeping it active somehow.
That's exciting. And in the future, I know there's this project will continue to go on in the future. We talking about Luna. This happens on a very regular basis every month or a few times a year. How is that structured?
This year there are, for instance, already 4 or 5 sessions scheduled in different institutions. And besides that, I also host meetings and dinners here in my house. So it's this combination of publicly announced events, which you can really find on our website as well, in Open Prospace, and events that are actually not mentioned in and archived in that way.
Well, there'll be, in the interview, for those listening, there'll be links to all of that so they can see that. Mario Line, I want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure hearing about your work.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.